When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And this is ZD Donahue.
And today we have so many thoughts that we're not quite sure everything we're going to cover.
Oh, what road we may take you
yeah,
down.
Who knows? So you're going to find out just as we do as we talk about used machines. That was the topic written down in the Trello.
Yeah.
Used machines, okay?
So we don't know what exactly like sparked us to write that down that day, but I'm sure it's one of many things we come up with.
Now, we were sewing machine dealers for... You owned the dealership. You owned the dealership for 11. You worked at a dealership for...
Like 23. Yeah. Altogether. 10 years before. 10 years not owning it and 11 years owning it, I guess.
And then I was running the dealership.
Mallory grew up in a dealership. I would go pick her up from grade school at like, you know, whatever it was, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, bring her back to the shop and we'd look over and she'd be like asleep under a table someplace.
That's right. So then I you know, you bought the shop when I was in high school.
Yeah,
and
I think
then
you were like 15. You
and then I was
driving.
Running it for a while.
Right.
There before we...
You ran it for almost 5 years.
Six years, something like that. Until recently, until we closed the brick and mortar store in March of 2017. So I'm saying this because we have an interesting perspective on this.
Yeah.
Having sold used machines.
Having been a dealer. Having been a consumer.
Having been a dealer consumer. Having sold used machines. Having serviced used machines that like weren't purchased from us.
That's true.
And talking to a lot of consumers who would come through our door.
And we, some sewing shops don't allow you to be part of their shop unless you have purchased a machine from them or their type of machine that they were selling, their manufacturer. And we were open to everybody. We let everybody be our customer.
Yeah, so we allowed everybody to come to like the you know, the club we had and everything. So
classes, you could bring any kind of sewing machine that
and
you could
people,
drag in there.
People might buy a machine from us, but then also buy machines elsewhere or buy used machines or whatever. So we got to interact with a lot of consumers who had experience in this.
Right.
And used machines can mean a lot of things. You know, we had a very loyal customer one time. She bought the Baby Lock Evolution. And like 2 months later, the Ovation came out.
That's right.
And she was like, I want the Ovation. And so her...
Which is exactly what I said when I saw the Ovation.
Yeah. Her, like, 3 or 4 month old Evolution was technically a used machine that we got to sell. You know? So there's that type of used machine,
right?
That's, you know, you can stumble upon some pretty happy circumstances sometimes.
You can come upon a machine that, you know, is in mint condition and that it's almost, you know, might have the original box and all the goodies
with it,
right?
You know, and so that's one example of a used machine. And this is, I think, what we're talking about, at least in this segment of the podcast, are the risks associated with buying a used machine.
Can I tell a funny story?
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as
it has to do with sewing machines.
Whatever. Go ahead.
So we had a customer who wanted to buy a new sewing machine, and she wanted to trade in her old sewing machine, and we said, "Well, absolutely, you can do that." And at the time, I did not own the shop at the time. I was just
What? Just a worker bee.
Yeah, head seller, I think is what you would call me. And so anyway, when we took in a machine, we would totally, you know, check it out, service it, go through the owner's manual, make sure it looked good, make sure all the parts were there, replace any accessories that weren't there. So, you know, we were selling a full package back to the next customer, right?
Yeah, I guess not all stores do that.
Yeah, we found that out. But the other policy we had is we would not tell anyone who the previous owner was unless that owner said they want, you know, it was okay or something like this. Okay. So we did not tell them because, first of all, we didn't want one customer calling the other customer.
Yeah.
You know, we had taken it on trade and it was our responsibility to service this customer, right? We get this livid call from this woman about how we told this person she has her old machine and this person called her house and her husband did not know that that was a new machine she had. He thought she still had the old machine. She like did this like quick switch and didn't tell him. And how she was in so much trouble from her husband because we told this woman that, you know, it was her. Well, we didn't.
Right.
And apparently, she had put her name, I believe it was like in the owner's manual, like in some inconspicuous place.
Yeah, because we would look through
that. So get this. So that if anyone ever stole it from her, she would know it was her. I'm like, this woman's got a problem, you know? I mean, like, she's worried about somebody stealing her owner's manual, and she lies to her husband, like, who's screwed up here? But anyway.
You know, the episode on marital dishonesty and sewing machine purchasing might be forthcoming.
That's right. I mean, we didn't tell.
Yeah, right.
And we wouldn't have. But also, it wasn't really my problem that she lied to her husband.
That's I've got a story like that too. Anyway, but
oh yeah, we do have a story about that. I forgot about that.
It's not about a used machine though. Yeah. So anyway, when you buy a used machine, what you're looking at generally is not the same type of warranty as you would get on a new machine.
Absolutely.
That's important. Now, it's not true all the time. When we were a Baby Lock dealer, if the machine was traded in through us and sold again through us, parts of, you know, the warranty would be transferred.
Or if you had a gold standard, it could be, which is like
extended warranty.
An extended warranty. So if you had that was transferable to a new customer.
And so transfer.
Or part of it or something.
Yeah, transferring. I think the gold standard, as long as it's sold again through a dealership, is fully transferable.
Right,
Check with your dealer on that, though.
And I'm sure it can change.
And that was the thing about that customer's evolution. It had, like, all the gold standard left on it.
That's the machine you want. So all the kinks are out of it because she used it for a while or whatever.
But here's the deal. If someone is selling you a machine, if you're going to buy a used machine from an individual.
Right, that's different.
And they tell you that the warranty transfers, that might not be true.
The warranty has to be transferred through a dealer.
Unless you get some kind of reassurance from a dealer,
yes,
or from the brand or something.
Because it
like
has
that.
To be registered to your name in their system.
And because when we would order parts, and we were a Baby Lock dealer, we also sold some other brands of machines. When we would order parts, I'd give the serial number and they'd say, who's the owner?
Right.
They wanted to know the name.
Well, and I will tell you, the reason there's a serial number on your machine is people steal.
Yep.
And fence sewing machines,
that's
believe
right.
it or not.
That's right.
So, I mean, we would get a list sometimes of serial numbers from the companies that we were dealing with. We'd say, if this shows up in this model and the serial number is this, it's a stolen machine, you need to contact us.
Yeah, somebody tries to trade something in or sell something to or whatever.
A lot of people, that's another thing, guys. Don't call me up and tell me that you have the best sewing machine in the whole entire world. I'm a dealer, right? And you call me up and you tell me you have the best sewing machine in the whole world and you want to sell it to me.
Right.
Because I've got manufacturers selling me brand new ones with warranties. So don't tell me you got a deal for me.
Or I shouldn't talk
try about and do that with your car dealer.
I shouldn't yep. talk about this, but people would talk about how amazing their machine
right
was, and then they'd be like, you know, I paid $20 for it at a garage sale right. or something. Well, then clearly they're not happy with it. Anyway, whatever. Okay, that's not, you know, the dealer.
The dealer is not in the business of buying your old sewing machine.
Right. But and the dealer complains, you know, we get to leave those behind.
But
now,
what
right?
I'm going to say is the dealer sometimes will take your sewing machine in on trade, and they know they're going to have to give it away or put it in the dumpster, and they'll give you money for it just to sell you a new machine. And that happens too. And I'm not saying they're going to give you a lot of money, but they'll at least give you something. You know, they might give you $100, $200.
Hey, you never know. And you know, that's the thing is this isn't about trading in machines.
Right.
Get back on topic, Mom. So.
Yeah, but people think I'm going to buy their used machine, and I'm not.
Not anymore. Leave it. Okay. Leave it behind. So they, if you're buying a used machine though, going through a dealer is your best bet. They should offer some type
Absolutely.
Of guarantee. And Baby Lock even offers, they offer some kind of year-long guarantee on any machine. You can enter into some kind of agreement with them, depending on the dealer.
Right.
And it's of any age, you know.
That is one thing you can ask your dealer.
Yeah.
When you buy a machine new is, what if I want to trade in 6 months? What if I want to trade? Now, I think it's a good policy that dealers do that, but I would also suggest you buy the machine you want right up front
okay.
and save time.
But let's talk about used machines, okay. not trading in. When you buy a used machine, we mentioned that Evolution Serger.
Right.
That's a mechanical machine.
Right.
You know, that machine has no computer parts on
it. Has no boards that can go bad, no electronic boards.
That's right. And so if you are going to buy a used machine, you know, your least risky move oftentimes is a mechanical one.
Right.
Now, but what if we want a machine that's got a computer board and we want embroidery and we want, you know, all those things
right.
that take a computer board? You know, you can buy from an individual, but...
That's it. You're hanging out.
That's
and,
it.
And we know, we've dealt with people, we've dealt with their machines who have bought machines, you know, off the internet.
Right.
And some of them were great.
Yes.
And others, basically, it was just a miserable experience. They got machines that could not even be fixed.
Right,
like,
right.
no matter what was done, you know, they'd already put, and we would say, you need to stop putting money into this machine. There's
right.
so much. And you don't know, you know, that machine could have been in a flood. It could have been struck by lightning. Honestly,
you don't know.
Honestly,
yeah.
those things happen.
Absolutely.
So... It's just buyer beware.
Yeah.
It is truly buyer beware.
So if you get a used sewing machine, if you're looking for one, just don't. I think one of the big things is people will say, I have this type of machine. Like they'll say, I love my Baby Lock Enlighten. And so then someone will go looking for a used Enlighten.
Right.
But not all used machines are necessarily created equal,
nope.
depending on who's selling it.
That's
how
right.
old it is, because, you know, the Imagine.
It's also not how much it's been sewn on.
That's right. Nope.
Because it could Mm-mm. be hard mileage, or it could be mileage that's been serviced. It's just like a car. It could be a high mileage car, but they changed the oil in it. They got it serviced. They checked out all the systems, and they made sure they changed the fluid. And it's the same way with a machine. You can wind up with a sewing machine that... you know, the hook system has been, like, chewed up in.
Yep.
You know.
It only takes one or two times to
yeah,
do that.
It really
do,
does.
Right?
It only takes one wild needle, you know,
yeah.
a piece of needle going around. And here's the thing. Then you take it to the dealer, and you try and get it fixed, and they're going blind. You know, they're starting out blind. And so they go to your hook system, and they replace maybe part of it or just your bobbin case, and then that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking... hundreds and then hundreds and then hundreds. So did you save anything?
Right.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that can happen. Now, there are lots of, if you're buying from, like, someone who's local and they can, like, go get that machine serviced or
right.
something like that, you know.
Or
that,
you and
or you can get the machine looked
you can,
at.
See, you can sew on it.
Mm-hmm. Or you can
you
sew
can,
on it.
You can say, I would like to look at your machine. Can I come to your house? You know, or... can we meet at the library or whatever, however you're going to do this? And you sew on that machine and you at least know the machine sews. If you're buying it off the internet, buyer beware.
Yeah, and
I know there's some good deals out there, and I know they've worked out for some people, but I've also seen some horrible nightmares.
And this, when you buy a used machine from a dealer, we would always give the classes.
Right.
We'd give the classes.
Right, right, right.
So
we instructed
not only,
on them.
You know, we're talking about, oh my gosh, your right. board could go out or this or that. You know, we would give the instruction
right.
on a used machine
right.
just like a new one. So that's the thing about, it's just, you know, it's the risk you're taking
yeah.
by, it's like
used,
anything
it's
else.
It's like anything that's used.
Anything
you
used.
Know, I mean, so just know that. I guess what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with buying a used machine if you take the right precautions and you have the right attitude.
Right. And, you know, I guess it's not like just like buying any used thing because I think it's really like a car.
Yeah.
You know, I think about other used things you could buy, like a musical instrument.
Well, I
don't.
Yeah.
Isn't quite as big of a risk. You
right,
know what
because
I mean?
You blow air into it and it has valves and it works.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you
well,
do, treat it
well,
like a car.
I think another
treat
thing
like
is people develop like personal attachments to their cars, to their sewing machines, and to their musical
yeah,
instruments.
Yeah.
I do not have a personal relationship with my refrigerator. So if it goes out, I'm mad, but
yeah.
I just get a new one.
Right.
In fact, I'll probably get a better one.
Right.
But I think what happens is you've bought this, and what you think you've bought is fun.
Right.
And happiness and a working thing, and then it doesn't. So it's a big disappointment.
Well, and I think before we go to a message break, we can, you know, you talk about buying fun and,
right.
you know, developing those personal relationships. Before we go to a message break, and then we're going to switch to a little bit of a different aspect of this. Just when you're buying something from someone who is an individual, be aware of those contradictory statements they make.
Yes.
You know, it's so good. Okay, well, then why are you selling it?
That's right.
You know, or this, like, kind of. Like the things you kept mentioning,
if they
us
say
the dealer would
it
hear.
Was my mother's and she hardly ever used it. That's not such a great statement.
Or, what?
Because
how
even,
do you know that? You
right.
Know?
First of all, maybe she didn't use it because it wasn't working right.
Right.
Maybe she didn't use it because she didn't like it. And because she didn't use it, the tires are flat on it.
Well,
so to
and
speak.
That's, they're square, right? The
right.
tire's square.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what you would always say. So don't, you know, the thing, this is a lovely machine. I never used it.
Yeah.
How can
that
you
doesn't,
know?
And
that
doesn't
add up.
A machine that sits dormant can have more problems than a machine that is used often.
Well, how would they know how good it was if they never used it too, right? Right?
I'm just saying. These are the things we've come up against.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pause for a message break. This episode is brought to you by the Mini Vacuum Attachment Kit. Mom, you know how great I am at cleaning.
I was just going to say, you're going to talk about a vacuum.
Mallory starts out this ad break of all ad breaks. Yeah, so tell us how to use the Mini Vacuum Attachment Kit. Tell us a little bit about
it. Well, it truly is an attachment kit. Okay, it's not a mini vacuum. That's
uh-huh.
what I want to make really, really clear. Because a mini vacuum just doesn't have the right kind of suck. You know, it just doesn't have the power.
You need big suck,
right.
small implement.
There you go.
That's right.
And it really sucks.
Yep.
So if you want an attachment that really sucks, this is the one.
Exactly.
And now, a lot of times, we have vacuums all over, but a lot of times you can put it on your shop vac, you can put it on any vacuum cleaner. And when you get it, it will have like a couple of different attachments that will help it
adapters.
To adapt to
yeah.
right to adapt to your so when you get this and there's two things you don't use, that's right,
that's okay.
Yeah, that's
so
okay.
So you pop this thing on either your shop vac or your home vacuum system,
right?
And then it comes with some small attachments because we want to suck the lint out of our machines,
right.
out of our sergers, out of our keyboards,
yes.
out of our whatever little tight spaces.
My favorite way to clean a serger is to get a big brush, like
uh-huh.
Maybe like an artist brush or even a makeup brush, and start sweeping out and sucking it out at the same time.
Yes, with your little vacuum
right.
attachment kit.
And that's how we do it. That's how we always did it, you know, professionally at the
you
shop,
know,
basically.
Funny story. When we had a shop, our tech said something like, hey, can I get one of those back here? And I was like, yes. So we he didn't have one for a while. And
he was just using the big nose on the shop
vac. Yeah, big nose on the shop vac, and he was using a brush, like you're talking about. But even for a tech who's got the machine completely naked, he still wanted that.
Well, and you can get down into the little crevices and everything. It truly is, like, the most amazing thing. Don't buy a mini vacuum. You have to buy the mini vacuum attachments.
And it's available at sohere.com/shop, and there's a link to the product in today's show notes.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Okay, this is what we really want to.
You know, I just thought about this. I was going to ask Mallory if she's ever bought a used machine. And now that I think about it, I don't think Mallory's ever bought a machine.
Nope. I mean, as
we just have
business,
them.
As the business, right. I have written the checks to buy the machines
to
resell.
Yeah, but writing the checks doesn't mean it's your money.
That's right.
That's right.
One time I was at Tacony for a training and got a call from the bank, and they're like, there is this check here for $1 million or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, is this right? And I was like, yep, I'm here right now, ordering more stuff, you know. So, in that sense.
So
now,
Mallory's telling you how to buy a machine, and she's never bought a machine
for herself.
Well,
and that's why I brought up the being a dealer, you know, type thing. And we're coming at it from that. I think this is the perspective that's missing.
Yeah.
A lot of the times.
That you've been a consumer and a dealer.
Or just the dealer perspective. Because honestly, if you talk to one person who has bought like one or two used machines.
Right.
Are you getting like the full picture of the situation? Whereas we have talked to how many people who've bought used machines because
Absolutely.
We serviced machines.
So, well, and we've talked to other dealers.
Yeah.
Who've dealt with, you know,
yes.
other situations.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the big things about being a dealer is getting to go to convention and sharing your experiences with the other dealer. It's probably one of the most valuable things you do.
Okay, but the other thing, any dealer, no matter what the convention they go to, or anybody, I don't know, this is something that bugs me, and we'll clarify this. So if you're sitting in a basement full of lovely vintage machines that you like to kiss and stuff, keep listening, okay? But this is what gets me. It's what gets my goat. I've seen blog posts about this and stuff on reputable sites. Just because it's old, just because the machine is old, doesn't mean it's better than every other machine in existence.
No.
Okay?
No. Absolutely not.
I have seen the advice given on a blog post that says, how to buy a sewing machine, that says, go to a garage sale. You'll find an older machine, and it will work great.
Not true.
How can they know what garage sale you're going to?
Well, how can they know what machine you're getting? And do they know anything about motor brushes? Do they know? I mean, what do they know?
They don't know where that machine's been.
No.
And it might be fine. There are, of
well,
course.
They're maybe, and they could be blogging from one or two experiences of getting a machine that worked.
But just say, like, I've just seen this generalization makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, and you can buy a $20 garage sale machine, and I guarantee you it'll take at least $100 to get a basic service.
Yeah.
So, and then we got to see if it works.
Well, and, you know, some of these people are, and there are people, okay, so if you're like, I love my vintage machines, I'm about to unsubscribe from their podcast. If you're somebody who collects vintage and older machines and you like to work on them and it's pleasurable for you and, or that just really floats your boat, like, go for it. You know, absolutely.
Well,
I just get, I do not, the broad generalization that, hey, you beginning sewer, looking for a machine to sew on, you should go to a garage sale. Like, no,
well,
I don't think
so. A beginning sewer should go to a dealer and get advice. That's what a beginning sewer should do.
And I know it's not always an option for everybody.
Right.
I am fully aware of that.
Right.
I know that.
Well, or if you have grandma's machine and it's there, see if it's going to work
for
you.
Go for it. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, we've just seen we would get these machines in, and they would, sometimes they'd be bought from garage sales.
Right.
Or sometimes they would be someone's machine that they had for 30 years, and some gear would be broken on it. Something, and it could cost $150 to fix. Now, what do those machines have in common? They're both really old. Now, so the one was bought at a garage sale, and then the one was probably going to, like, end up in a garage sale. Okay.
Right?
Am I right?
That's right.
Also, if someone says to you, go get one of those old ones, they have all metal parts.
It's not true.
It's not true.
If it's metal on the outside, it doesn't mean it's metal on the inside.
It doesn't. And the machines made nowadays that are plastic on the outside, all of them have metal frames on the inside.
Right. And they have metal parts, but they are composite. I'm sorry. They have non-metal parts, but they are of a composite material that's actually better than that 30-year-old gear that was plastic
or nylon or whatever,
nylon,
and those can rot. And I'm not saying they can't be replaced.
They can scar.
But don't like come. Okay, so I told you not to complain about being a dealer. All right, I'm gonna do it. Don't come in and say this is the best machine. It's made of all metal parts.
Right.
No, it's not.
And not unless you've looked. You know why? All the plastic and nylon parts
are all gone. They're all disintegrated. Yeah, exactly. And do you think your belt is made of metal? You know, I mean, obvious belts aren't a huge deal to replace, you know, generally. But it doesn't automatically make it, quote,
no, it doesn't better. Make it better. In fact, the engineer is a baby lock. You know, explain to me that the plastic casing on a machine has revolutionized, right, the industry, because they can make it any shape it needs to be and accommodate their engineering, you know, of this machine, where the metal, you know, the metal casings.
Restricted.
They were totally restricted. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Also, the plastic makes it lighter. Like, you don't want to be.
Well, and if you really, I guess my other thought is, if you really believe that machine that was made in 1939. Okay, has better engineering, better product development behind it than a machine you can buy today.
Stop using penicillin.
I'm lost on you. Because, I mean, now it doesn't mean there aren't crappy machines out there.
Absolutely. No, and you might be sewing on, when was penicillin discovered? Because you said 19, what year did you? Anyway,
50s, 60s,
if it was wrong,
50s,
I apologize.
40s, the 40s, I don't know.
Just to throw back to
you
pre.
You want me to Google?
No, that's okay. I just don't want to get emails like, you idiot, penicillin.
Let's do the polio vaccine with 1954.
There we go, 1954. So we're not saying that you can't have an old machine and be so successful and so happy. And, you know, I'll just call out Julian in the group, because he is just always buying the vintage machines and having a good time with them and, you know, playing around with them. And he's got a newer machine, too.
Right.
And he's got these older ones. And then there was another lady, and she hasn't commented about this in a while, but somebody shared this blog post in the group to get me going. And it was on a very reputable, big sewing site. And it basically said, how to buy a machine, go to a garage sale, you know? And I was like, this is so gross. Like, this is going to make people unhappy, you know? This is going to make people, you know, just really bugging me. Anyway, so they posted that to get to me, and it worked. And this one lady said, you know, I love to go to garage sales and hunt out machines, and I fix them up and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, absolutely, you know, go for it. Do it. Did you find something?
Fleming recounted that the date of his discovery of penicillin was on the morning of Friday, 28 September 1928.
Oh, now, okay.
I'm not sure that's when it was on the market. And then there's this picture, and it says penicillin cubes for gonorrhea on it.
Woohoo!
That's what,
Okay, well, anyway, I think you said 1939, so penicillin was.
Well, I don't know when it was. That's when he discovered it,
sure.
So I don't know when it got to the market, but I was thinking, like, late 30s, early 40s.
Well,
so I don't know.
Yeah. So just to be clear here, I'm not saying that all vintage machines are evil and that you have to buy something brand spanking new to be happy. It's not what I'm saying. But don't think, oh, I'm finding a used machine, it is automatically superior, or I'm finding something at a garage sale, it's automatically superior, right?
Well,
right.
Yeah.
I don't want the generalization.
Well, those are silly statements.
I probably just got a lot of steps logged on my activity tracker because I'm like shaking my fists.
Well, if you think about it, it's a silly concept.
It is. And I can't, well, I think what makes it so frustrating for us is not only the slight, what do I want to say, memory we have. I was going to say slight PTSD we have right here. The memory we have of being dealers. It wasn't about taking sales away.
No.
It was about people coming in and being so frustrated about sewing.
They
and
would
having,
be upset.
Yes.
And you'd think, I've been trying to talk to you about this.
Right.
You know, I mean, of course, you didn't say that to him. You didn't say, I told you so.
Right, right.
But you did. You had told them so.
And now I can. I can just be
That's
like,
right.
hey, guys.
You know, okay, we have a treadle machine downstairs.
Uh-huh.
It still works.
Yeah.
Okay. It has all the attachments. It's lovely and everything. I don't want to sew on that. I have my machine from 1963.
Yep.
Your
Necky.
Necky. And it sews like a dream. It sews so slow. It drives me out of my mind.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. It drives me out of my mind. And that machine, I sewed on that machine for like 25 years, and that's all I sewed on. And I sewed, and I finally said, I went to a dealer, and I said, is there something that sews faster? Now, this is a good answer. Well, probably almost everything we have in
here.
We'll
sew faster.
Right. And I asked for the fastest machine, and that's what I bought. I bought the fastest machine.
Yeah, and so Mom's perspective here, I think, is so good because she likes to get stuff done.
Done.
She likes to get stuff done. Not only were you a machine dealer, and it was, you know, our livelihood at one point to sell machines. It was great to sell machines, but, like, you like to sew.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We get the sewing done. And not always is a vintage machine the best for that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Maybe it is at sometimes. But anyway.
And I'm sorry, everybody who says that, you know, their grandmother's machine sews better than any machine that sews nowadays. I'm sorry, I don't believe it.
No.
I just don't believe it. Our memories, okay, I got a story. Here comes the story. So, friend of ours had to stay home with his sick kid, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was his turn. His wife had taken off the last time, so now he was taking off work, and he was staying home with Mason, and he puts on Facebook, oh, my God, I've watched this many episodes of, I can't remember, like, you know, the Transformer cartoon. Will I live through this? You know, I do love my child, even
right.
though I'm posting this. And I responded with, the memory will be better than the reality. I guarantee it.
One day, they'll be going off to college, and be like, oh, I wish they'd stay home sick.
Yeah.
And I'll go, you know, right. And then at the time, you're like, can't watch another.
He was
stupid,
just, he was
curious
like going
George.
Out, right, he was going out of his mind, whatever kid show he was like on the, you know, fourth episode of or something. And I said, I guarantee you, Travis, you know, the memory will be better. And he's like, thank you. I go, it will.
Well, and, you know, this is something you've said multiple times that is so true. You know, oh, my grandma's machine, great, all metal. No, it's not, whatever. You know, your grandma was sewing on woven cotton.
That was it.
You know?
Calico.
Yeah, calico.
Yeah, that
stuff,
was it. I'll
you
tell
know?
You what, she probably used the same needle for 100 years, and she took a little emery paper and sharpened it up, too.
What are you sewing on?
Yeah.
You know, what are you trying to make? Like,
right.
What are you?
Some of that fabric you're sewing on is, like, industrial strength.
Yeah, what right. threads are you wanting to use? So it's just not always the best. Now, I do know people. People start to say, oh, I'm so ashamed I have so many machines.
Well, that's all right.
So you're safe here. So don't be ashamed. But some people say, oh, I love to have this featherweight set up for this, and I like my treadle every once in a while. It makes me feel good, you know.
Yeah.
Or what? Oh, you know, a customer told me who treadles are popular with. Preppers. You ever watch?
Well, yeah.
Doomsday
oh, no.
Preppers.
Oh no.
Yeah.
In 1999.
Uh huh. Oh, was it big?
We had people asking us if we could convert their machines if we had to. And I said, my thought was, if this happens, your sewing would be your last thought. I would wonder where I was going to get my next pair of eyeglasses, you know.
I always think about vision correction.
Right, right. If people are like, what would you take to a desert island? Contacts.
Yeah. If some of the younger people don't know what you're talking about, mom's talking about the Y2K scare. Okay. And now people don't talk about Y2K. They talk about the zombie apocalypse. Right. Okay. Okay.
Well, people were talking about, do you want to buy a portable washing machine? I'm like, I've got one. I live by a creek. A portable washing machine. Hey, if it gets to that, I'm going to be beaten on a rock and so is everybody
else.
Yep,
that's
right.
Yeah. It contacts, glasses.
Yeah. What would you take to a desert island? I would take contact lenses.
Yes.
Yes.
And birth control.
Yeah, I don't have to do that anymore.
You don't have to worry about that.
But there would be some other things maybe that would be important. But anyway.
Okay, so just if you're...
Soap.
Yes. So just buyer beware. Buyer be informed. Buyer be rational.
Yeah.
With used machines. Yeah. And don't... The title I actually had, like, for a podcast on that, on the second half, was the fetishization of vintage machines.
That's right.
I can't. If you love the vintage machines, that's not the problem.
Everyone, I had a 1964 and a half Mustang Fastback as my first car. Okay. That is a classic, classic car. I drove that car around. Okay. I was a cheerleader and our colors were orange and black and my Mustang was poppy orange with black interior. Oh my gosh, I was so cool. Wonderful car. My father taught me how to tune it up. It ran clean. It was wonderful. It used a lot of gas. Okay, it had no air conditioning. I wouldn't be caught dead driving that down the highway right now.
You know what?
I would be afraid I was in a death trap.
Right, right.
No seatbelts.
You know what?
Nothing. I mean,
so
you know.
Your dad was a mechanic, and my husband's grandfather was also an auto mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And he, actually, both of our grandfathers now are dead. But
they didn't die because they were mechanics.
No, but, you know, and Derek's grandfather, he suffered from dementia.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know him long at all, you know, when Derek and I first met. But, you know, one of the things I remember him saying, besides him calling me pretty one time, is somebody was talking about how awesome some old car was.
Right.
He goes, you can't get parts for it anymore.
That's right.
No, and he was like 80 something. And I was like, if this 80-year-old man can get real, okay, about the usability of some kind. No, I just looked at him and I was like, oh, I just relate to that so much with the sewing machine thing. Like, you know, oh, great. No, it's so wonderful.
My father told me that we were the only people in the neighborhood that could drive a car to 100,000 miles because he knew how to, like, you know, put it back together.
Right, right.
Cars didn't last 100,000 miles. Now they last for 200,000 miles.
Absolutely.
What? Research and development, people.
Yep. You're not, you know, you
R&D.
You want to drive a Model T around?
Okay. Does everybody understand about those used machines and how Mallory and I feel? You do not have to feel the same way.
But
we're letting you know how we feel.
But if you're going to post that blog post about how the best way to get your first machine is to go to a car sale, like, you're just going to hear a little explanation from
That's
me,
right.
Okay? All right. Thank you so much
for everybody.
Listening.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.